Before we chant the verse on the board, I was thinking to read something very briefly about Madhavendra Puri. This is the disappearance day, yes? Of Madhavendra Puri. The spiritual master of Ishwara Puri, who was the spiritual master of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. The many nice things written about Madhavendra Puri, in addition to a whole long, very intimate pastime with his deity, Gopal, and then in turn, Gopinath and Ramuna. So that's a long narration, but specifically Madhavendra Puri is described by Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami as giving the seed of spontaneous love for Krishna in Vrindavan. Spontaneous love is distinct from love of God, Krishna prema, or the stage of prema that's found also in Vaikuntha, in the quality of love that's found in Vaikuntha, the residents of Vaikuntha, with awe and veneration, they view the Supreme Lord. They see Him as the Supreme Lord, the possessor of all opulences, and therefore, or with that mood of love, they worship Him, they serve Him, and they carry out their eternal life in loving exchange with Him. So this term, spontaneous love, is specifically applicable for Krishna in Vrindavan. We know that Krishna's appearance in Vrindavan, won't go too much into this, but Krishna's appearance in Vrindavan is very special, because in each day of Lord Brahma, which constitutes 1,000 yuga cycles, which is a long time, in one of those 1,000 yuga cycles, Krishna appears and performs his pastimes in Vrindavan, so which means the other 999 forms of Krishna that appear in Dwarpa Yuga, he doesn't show his Vrindavan pastimes. And in those Vrindavan pastimes, only is this spontaneous love found. Which means, before Madhavendra Puri, the application is, before Madhavendra Puri, in our line of disciplic succession, the worship of Krishna is like Madhvacharya worshipped Krishna. And it's his principal deity was Krishna. Would it be Krishna? That worship of Krishna was not performed in the mood of spontaneous love. It was performed in a different mood. And Madhavendra Puri introduced the seed, or the spontaneous love of the residents of Vrindavan as they have for Krishna in Vrindavan, where they don't see Him as God. They see Him in His sweet, loving pastimes, and especially crowning those sweet, loving pastimes is the mood of the gopis for Krishna. So certainly Lord Chaitanya exhibited the same and taught the same, but prior to Madhavendra Puri, that was not the prominent message of our line of disciplic succession. Madhavendra Puri brought that seed. He experienced it. He passed it on to Ishwara Puri, and at least Leela-wise, Ishwara Puri passed it on to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, although Chaitanya Mahaprabhu doesn't need anybody to pass anything on to him. because he's the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So, described in Chaitanya Charitamrita is the method. Along with the qualification, of course, but there was a method. And the method was, there's a certain prayer, which I'm going to recite, and again and again and again, Madhavendra Puri recited this prayer. Again and again and again. Which means he entered into it. He understood it. More than felt it. He entered into it. He became one with the prayer. He was engaged in pastimes with Krishna in the mood of the gopis through this prayer. In, I believe it's the purport of text 3 of Sri Brahma Samhita, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur describes two methods by which today one can experience pastimes with Krishna. Experience, not like understand them. Experience, enter into pastimes with Krishna that are taking place in Goloka Vrindavan. The term is aprakat lila. There's, when Krishna appears, he manifests his pastimes, it's called prakat. And then after the scheduled appearance of Krishna is over, aprakat. Those same pastimes are going on eternally in the spiritual world. He discloses them in this world, and otherwise they're aprakat. So he says there are two ways to access those aprakat pastimes in this world today. Not when it's scheduled incarnation time, but anytime. And there are two methods are mantra upasana, which is basically what Madhavendra Puri did. And mantra upasana is a process of meditation upon the mantra. As Prabhupada used the phrase when chanting Brahma Samhita prayers, enter into the spirit of this hymn as a regular daily function. That was Prabhupada's phrase. That's mantra upasana. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur describes that in that purport, that it's like a lake. The mantra, that's the specific mantra, upasana mantras, they're either one single pastime of Krishna, or one single feature of Krishna, and through the mantra one can experience that pastime. One can enter into that pastime like entering into a lake. And then once into that lake, then one can go to the other stage, which is called sva rasaki. Sva means one's own, and rasaki, one's own rasa. That's compared to a river. So you can enter into a lake. Not always, but commonly. Lakes are formed by rivers. So over here is a lake, that's the river is moving over there. So you enter into the lake, and then you enter into the river through the lake. And then the unceasing flow of Krishna's pastimes one can enter into once one has realized or has experienced, one has entered into one's rasa. So that's obviously a very elevated position, to enter into your rasa. It's also an elevated position to properly chant mantras. Right? But chanting of mantras through this mantra upasana process, which Madhavendra Puri did, he experienced his rasa with Krishna. And he experienced Krishna through that rasa, through the exchange of love with Krishna. And the mood of that rasa was madhurya. Rasa. We find in Sri Brahma Samhita, same method was followed by Lord Brahma, and it was through different mantra, Gopal mantra. You can read it, it's in Sri Brahma Samhita. He received that Gopal mantra from Saraswati, and Saraswati in this case is not the goddess of learning, demigoddess. It's another Saraswati, the prototype Saraswati, in a direct expansion in the spiritual realm of Lakshmi, the goddess of fortune. That Saraswati gave him this mantra and then told him what to do with it. It will fulfill all your desires and you'll realize yourself. So, that's a method, mantra upasana. And we're also given that same method. We may not realize it, but we're given the same method. For example, in Jiva Goswami's commentary of Sri Brahma Samhita, he says that the very same verses that we recite every morning when we greet the deities, those are mantra upasana mantras. Venum kanvantam aravinda dalayataksham, etc. It's a mantra describing Krishna, his form, his loving attractive. He attracts the love of his devotees through his features. It's mantra upasana. You only say it once, and then, you know, the next altar and the next altar, but it's a mantra upasana method given by Lord Brahma. And this is a mantra upasana method. It doesn't say where Madhavendra Puri received this prayer, but it's that type of prayer. So that's the background. We're going to read the prayer in Sanskrit. Translation a little bit from the purport. It's from Madhya Lila, chapter 4, text 197. Aidina dayadra nata he maturanata kadavalok yase hridayam tvad aloka kataram dayata brahmyati kim karom yaham. Translation. O my Lord, O most merciful Master, O Master of Mathura, when will I see you again? Because of my not seeing you, my agitated heart has become unsteady. O most beloved one, what shall I do now? And then he would repeat it, and then he would repeat it, and then he would repeat it, and enter into the mood, enter into the mantra, experience Krishna in the mood of separation as the residents of Vrindavan, and specifically this almost beloved one indicates specifically Madhurya Rasa. So it was, it's, O my Lord, O most merciful Master. So see, the mood is moving. O my Lord, O most merciful Master, O Master of Mathura, when will I see you again? Because of my not seeing you, my agitated heart has become unsteady. O most beloved one, what shall I do now? It's just a two-paragraph purport I'll read. The uncontaminated devotees who strictly depend on The Vedanta philosophy are divided into four sampradayas or transcendental parties. One of the four sampradayas, out of the four, Sri Madhvacharya Sampradaya was accepted by Madhavendra Puri. He took sannyas according to parampara, the disciplic succession, beginning from Madhvacharya down to the spiritual master of Madhavendra Puri, the acharya named Lakshmipati. There was no realization of devotional service and conjugal love. Sri Madhavendra Puri introduced the conception of conjugal love for the first time in the Madhvacharya Sampradaya. And this conclusion of the Madhvacharya Sampradaya was revealed by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu when he toured southern India and met the Tattvavadis who belonged to the Madhvacharya Sampradaya. The Tattvavadis are the names of the strict followers of Madhvacharya who live in Udupi, and Lord Chaitanya exhibited ecstatic love. And they were going, "What's this?" And he explained, "Well, you're in our line, you know, where's this come from?" And so it's discussed there. Paragraph. When Sri Krishna left Vrindavan and accepted the kingdom of Mathura, Srimati Radharani, out of ecstatic feelings of separation, expressed how Krishna can be loved in separation. Thus, devotional service in separation is central to this verse. Worship in separation is considered by the Gaudiya Madhva Sampradaya to be the topmost level of devotional service. According to this conception, the devotee thinks of himself as very poor, dina, and neglected by the Lord. Thus he addresses the Lord as Dina Dayadranath, as did Madhavendra Puri. Such an ecstatic feeling is the highest form of devotional service, because Krishna had gone to Mathura, Srimati Radharani was very much affected, and she expressed herself thus. So this is paraphrased, quote, "My dear Lord, because of your separation, my mind has become overly agitated. Now tell me, what can I do? I am very poor, and you are very merciful. So kindly have compassion upon me, and let me know when I shall see you." So it's this anticipation of seeing Krishna in the mood of Radharani, not like one of us, in the mood of Radharani. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was also expressing the ecstatic emotions of Srimati Radharani that she exhibited when she saw Uddhava at Vrindavan. Similar feelings experienced by Madhavendra Puri are expressed in this verse. Therefore, Vaishnavas in the Gaudiya Madhva Sampradaya say that the ecstatic feelings experienced by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu during his appearance came from Sri Madhavendra Puri. Through Ishwar Puri, all the devotees in the line of the Gaudiya Madhva Sampradaya accept these principles of devotional service. It's profound. How can someone give to the personality of Godhead something? It's the other way around. The personality of Godhead gave to him something. And then Lord Chaitanya played the role of one who was receiving that something from Madhavendra Puri, Ishwar Puri, in that way. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu chose, empowered, blessed, gave showers of descending mercy upon Madhavendra Puri to experience that which was, you could say, revolutionary. Not contradictory, but or against the Madhvacharya line of teaching, but a mature stage, a fully ripened stage. And there's a certain methodology that was applied a la Lord Brahma. He didn't make something new. He just developed in a particular way gifted by the personality of Godhead, a very wonderful, wonderful, full of wonder system or process of encountering, experiencing relationship with Krishna. So we want that relationship with Krishna also. And to fulfill that, we have the method. And we have a great, great Acharya, Madhavendra Puri, to exemplify that for us. So we're honoring him on his disappearance day. Who put the verse on the board? Your handwriting is like a typewriter. It's like really very nice. Very nice. Welcome back. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Yada Mano Hridayam Granti Asya. Karmanu Badho Dridha Ashlateta. Tadajana Samparivartate Smad. Mukta param yat yaditaya hetum. Yada mano hridayam grantir asya. Karmanu badho dridha ashlateta. Tada janak samparivartate smad. Muktak param yat yaditaya hetum. Yada, when manaha, the mind, hridaya grantihi, the knot in the heart, asya, of this person, karma anubaddha, bound by the results of his past deeds. Dridha, very strong. Ashlateta, becomes slackened. Tada, at that time. Janaha, the conditioned soul. Samparivartate, turns away, asmat, from this attachment for sex life. Muktaha, liberated. Param, to the transcendental world. Yati, goes. Atihaya, giving up. Hetum, the original cause. Translation by Srila Prabhupada. When the strong knot in the heart of a person implicated in material life due to the results of past action is slackened, one turns away from his attachment to home, wife, and children. In this way, one gives up the basic principle of illusion, I and mine, and becomes liberated. Thus one goes to the transcendental world. Kind of contrast from yesterday's verse. Purport, very short. When, by associating with sadhus and engaging in devotional service, one is gradually freed from the material conception due to knowledge, practice, and detachment, the knot of attachment in the heart is slackened. Thus, one can get free from the conditional life and become eligible to return home back to Godhead and to purport. And the next verses, four verses, describing further detail that very process. Nice collection of verses. So the scene, Rishabhdev, incarnation of the personality of Godhead, has 100 sons, and he's instructing them just prior to his disconnecting from worldly lila, the life of a king, and preparing his sons to become qualified heirs to the throne in case of Bharat Maharaj, and others doing other services on the path of perfection. So, there's been a number of verses that have been strong medicine. Words of caution, but stronger than words of caution, really strong medicine. Describing, because they're mature, that's not like the children, they're mature persons and very qualified persons, so he's giving them parting instructions, basically, how to live their life, what to do, what not to do. Because the principles of what to do, what not, it's something like, that they're universal. It's something like what is described in the first canto, chapter 9, where Bhishma Deva is instructing Yudhisthira in how to carry out the duties of a king. And one of the things that he describes is, in the process of education, we've been speaking some about the necessity of training and education. So in that process of education, it's twofold. One is something that's universal, and the other is something that's unique and particular for an individual. And these instructions are the universal ones. Doesn't matter varna or ashram. Doesn't matter your psychophysical nature. These are principles that are to be understood and internalized, and then you conduct your life by them. Individual consideration, Bhishma Dev describes, then comes what is the two things. What is ashram and varna? Is this individual, a teacher has to, in Vedic tradition, the guru has a number of children in his school, living with him in his ashram, so he can closely observe everything. It's part of his duty, and thus requires some gift or empowerment from Krishna to see, attached or detached, propensity-wise. So the language is very fascinating. So after training the general principles of character and quality, which Prabhupada said is the principal purpose of education, and passing on character and quality, because if later in life, if someone has quality, they can do so many things. When they get this training to do this job or that training to do that job, a person who has character and quality, they can do so many things. But first is the character and quality, without which, look out. It's a very dangerous machine that you just created, an educated, quality-less society that can do really, zippo things without understanding integrity, how to use those things. Very dangerous. Very dangerous. Very dangerous. And the newspaper and media is filled with the very dangerous things because they don't pass on quality and character. They just don't do it. And so it's wild. So, in Vedic culture, that's the first thing. And then comes, so, what's the language? Interaction by attachment and something-something by detachment. It means for someone can be continue as a brahmachari because they show the capacity of, this is ashram now, not varna, they show the capacity of detachment. They like detachment. They like detachment. And so they don't need to enter into grahastha ashram in order to work through that attachment tendency. They can continue. And so the training goes correspondingly. And then there may be some notice of tendency for attachment. And so preparing that person to enter into another ashram besides brahmacharya ashram, but not like just jump in the pool, but some training. How to properly carry out those duties. Which is exactly what Rishabh Dev is doing with his sons, ashram-wise. Because whether one is a householder, or one is a brahmachari, or one is a sannyasi, these principles apply. They are applied differently according to ashram, but the principles apply. They're universal. Just on the varna category, when a teacher, guru, sees one of his children have this kind of propensity, so upon the foundation of character, he gives them some training so they can have some profession later in life, like their propensity. Or another propensity, so, you know, a guru, in the classic Gurukula system, has to be like professor of multiple, because he's everything. Whatever they're going to learn, it's from that person. He has to be, you know, a mahatma. Not just like I know, you know, nuclear physics or something, or engineering or computer technology. You know, they have to be very broad, vast in their capacity. That's a qualified person. But not just vast in their capacity to teach varnas, vast in their capacity to teach character, you know, Krishna consciousness. And this then it requires qualified students that they want Krishna consciousness and they want to live their life in a responsible way. When that combination is there, fantastic. But in the absence of qualified brahmana teachers, society goes to hell. That's the default. Therefore, Prabhupada wanted very much, at least some class of society should be first-class men, qualified brahmanas, to teach. Teach by example, teach by precept, to teach. Teach and train. Others who don't have that same brahminical capacity, but are willing to receive and be guided by. That's the system. It's one aspect of the Varnashram system that Prabhupada wanted. You have to have brahmanas. Otherwise you can't have Varnashram. And who were the brahmanas in Kali Yuga? They disappeared. So then there had to be a system of creating brahmanas out of the degraded. You know, us. it's a challenge. Anyway, that's the system. Now, going back to the fifth canto, chapter 5 here, he's been giving very strong medicine to his 100 sons about, it's in 3 verses in a row. Hridaya grantis, hridaya grantis, hridaya grantis. So, hrid means heart, and granti means knot. The knot in the heart. And he's very specific what that knot in the heart is. you know, in a very, in a little bit broad way, it's called attachment. Attachment. And we discussed this over the last several days. You know, being attached to stuff, like your possessions. So one can be a brahmachari and attached to their brahmachari stuff. One can be a householder and be attached to their householder stuff. And, you know, it's not like this attachment is better than that attachment. The attachment, it's not speaking against being responsible. It's speaking against being attached. Don't be attached. That's Hridaya Granthis, you know, to the mind. And that the mind attachment is connected to the I attachment. I, false ego. I am what I'm not. And then I'm attached to things that come from, that are based upon what I'm not. And in this way, I forget who I am. And I live a life of illusion attached to it. And somebody says, hey, you know, you're attached. They go, leave me alone. Get out of here. I'm doing just fine. You're, you know, get out of my life. I'm happy being attached in an illusion. If that's what you think it is. Because, you know, I think you're an illusion. Because you're attached to some fantasy thing. Anyway, so the dialogue goes on like that. But the lens of the Srimad Bhagavatam and Rishabhdev is teaching, cut the knot of attachment. And so, in this verse, hetum mukta param yati atihaya hetum. He's translated hetum as the original cause. So we discussed this yesterday. The original cause of creation is the act of procreation of the Supreme Lord. And from that original act of procreation comes what living entity do, whether they're in an insect body, worm body, fish body, tree body, bird body, or human body. And that's the act of procreation. And then, etc. The stuff that comes with that one. You know, like material life, I and mine. So that's, so that the bodily, as long as there's bodily identification, that one's gonna have a, you know, number one in the hit parade. It's going to be pushing, as long as one is identifying with the body, it's going to be pushing. And, and then all the other stuff, which we read in yesterday's verse. Griha kshetra, sutta, apta, vittayar, etc. Janasya moho yam aham mameti, aham mameti, the I and mine, conception. So, in the translation, Prabhupada has called this the basic principle of illusion. Mukta param, one gives up this basic principle of illusion. Which is the original cause, the basic principle of illusion, false ego, and with it, you know, the rest, that the mind conception, and, you know, I'm the enjoyer, I'm the Purusha, and there is Prakriti, and here we go. So the verse is saying, yada. When mana hridaya granti asya, when this person that was described in the previous verse that's just attached to the false position of being the enjoyer, hridaya grantis, attachment in the heart to the position of being the enjoyer, and then, you know, be explicit about it. It was explicit. Maitunya agara. The attachment to male-female attraction. You know, both ways. Male-female attraction. Tayor. Both become attached. Karmanu. karma anubandha, karma anubandha, bound by the result of his past deeds. Bound by the result. So, it's generic and it's explicit. The past deeds are things that we've done, and we're the force of karma is there within material nature. And then that's so this, whatever the activities that we've done, we're the tendency to do more of those same activities is built within the system. And the modes of nature with which we associate tend to push us in the direction of the modes of nature with which we associate it. Guna and karma. But then also specific, so we're being pushed or impelled by back there. And, you know, go way back there, there's the primordial act of procreation. And then with that primordial act of procreation, there goes the time energy. And the time energy starts activating, stirring the dormant, undifferentiated totality of material energy, pradhan, and it starts differentiating out into parts, and the first part is false ego, living as these are there, and boom, they got their false ego. Before they even did anything, they got their false ego again. Fits perfect. Just my size. And then all the other, you know, elements. Okay, now we got some senses, we got some working senses, we got some mind, we got some intelligence, off we go, zoom, zoom. Into the field of the material energy, trying to be an enjoyer, based upon this principle of false ego and the primordial act of procreation, right, you know, like right in my pocket. Just like, here we go. So what cuts that knot? And then attachment to that illusion. What cuts the knot? It's we heard. It's hearing and chanting. That's First Canto, Chapter 2. The next verse is going to go more deeply into than just saying hearing and chanting. It's going to speak about association and how that association is best taken. What are some of the elements of that association? What happens when you have that association? It's a very nice, it's a very wonderful verse. It's expanding on this verse. Whoever gets class tomorrow is going to have a really nice set of verses to speak about. It bound by the results of his past deeds, karmanu bandho, dridha, very strong. But then we get a little relief in the next word. Ashlateta becomes slackened. How does it become slackened? Hearing and chanting process through association of sadhu. He's not teaching anything different than than Kapiladeva taught to Devahuti, no surprise. Or Krishna taught to Krishna, no surprise. It's the same teaching. Language is different, but it's associate with saintly persons. And that's Rupa Goswami's language. Adau Shraddha Tata Sadhu Sangha. And then what do? Bhajana Kriya. You do with sadhus what sadhus do. You engage in devotional activity, hearing and chanting, in the association of sadhus. And then, you know, you start to apply those things that you heard. And that's what the next verse is. It's going into very nice anatomy of that process of association with sadhu. I just want to read one little section. It won't take away thunder from tomorrow's class giver. There's a little short two sentences in Prabhupada's purport summarizing that process of association. As Sri Madhvacharya points out, the sum and substance of these four verses, tomorrow's verses, is that one should refrain from acting out of a desire for sense gratification and should instead always engage in the Lord's loving service. We think we've heard that before. It takes a while to like get it down, but we've heard it. And that's what we're hearing again. He's not just like got his chopper out and he's chopping his sons. He's very kindly helping them become detached from Hridaya Granthis, the tendency for attachment to being the enjoyer of matter when it's not our position, and instead taking the association of sadhus, engaging in the process of hearing and chanting, and then the relief comes. Ashlateta. This thing slackens. And, you know, keep going, and it gets cut. Or just in the first canto, just cut. But before it's cut, it gets slackened. The knot slackens, and then it's easier to cut it. Tada janak samparivartate smad. Samparivartate means turns away. Jana is the conditioned soul, the one spoken of in the previous verse. Tada jana samparivartate smad. He turns away from asmat. Asmat's a pronoun. That is referring to the attachment for sex life, which is the hetum, the original cause. It's just like, you know, we bought into the program, and here we are. We got one. We got the program. And that's part of the program. Like, it's the original cause of the program. And along with false ego. And then the eye and mind principle, and, you know, we're bound. Hridaya Granthis. The alternative is what's coming tomorrow. This is saying that the principle, and tomorrow is the detail. Associating with saintly persons, and the association of saintly persons, Bhajana Kriya, and it's detailed very nicely. That's the Ahura Vimuktes, because that was in the earlier verse. There are two doors, one that goes down and one that goes up. And he's advising his sons, be sure it's the one that goes up, and it's at Mahatsevam Dora Mahura Vimuktes. Mahatsevam, associate with and serve the great souls. And that's the doorway, that's the path to becoming freed. Go back to Godhead, as Prabhupada is saying in the end of this purport. Thus, one can get freed from conditional life and be eligible to return home back to Godhead. Ahura vimuktes. Mahatsevam doram ahura vimuktes. Really systematic. And then we make some choices. Okay, I think I've understood the principle, now what am I going to do? And then we make our choices, what we're going to do. I'll stop there and see if there's any discussion, questions.
I just wanted to clarify. I think this verse, the verses that you're referring to, the next few verses are going to be from Monday, because tomorrow we usually have Srila Prabhupada class.
Okay, Monday.
So I think that you'll get to
Okay, I'll speak Monday. Fantastic. Fantastic. Anything else? No? Ladies' side, anything? Kokumananda, yeah.
You mentioned, thank you for the class first. You mentioned about detachment and responsibility. So if you can explain being detached and at the same time being responsible.
Yeah. You want to hear some more about that?
Yes.
Yes? Yes? If you can. Are you detached? Are you responsible? By that I'm say in a very short form referring to, or yeah, in reference to what Rupa Goswami says of what real vairagya is. There's a palgu vairagya conception, a false conception, a material conception of renunciation. And that is, I don't care. And so a life of your absence of responsibility. I don't care. Because it's just Maya anyway, Prabhu, so I don't care. Then there's a life of responsibility. I care. And there are measures to take up. Duties and responsibilities and, you know, what, when people care. Like the discussion yesterday at the university, Loyola, was about compassion, and compassion is about caring. But, you know, you can care and be attached. And then you get bewildered. You don't really do the right thing because you're attached. You can't even see straight because you're attached. I care and I'm bewildered. So the element of detachment is I care, but I'm not attached. I'm not attached means, in language of Bhagavad Gita, attached to Krishna. Like, he's the controller, and I'm the instrument of his caring, and whatever happens is up to him. So I'm responsible, but detached. Like you. You're extending care to a certain group of people. But you can't control the lives of those certain group of people or make their free will choices for them. You can guide them, but they make their own free will choices. Their life is in their hands, and they have a relationship with Krishna. It's not, you can't control it. You can care. You certainly care. You wouldn't be doing what you're doing if you didn't care. And you care. But there has to be some detachment too. That is, they're in Krishna's hands. Except they're choosing their destiny. It may pain me when I see them sometimes choose their destiny in, you know, a self-hurtful and other hurtful and combination of ways like that. It pains me. But so then you pray and things like that. You try to continue to be a better instrument of Krishna to help them move from that, you know, self-hurtful position. So that's where the intention of a responsible devotee goes, to become more pure, a better instrument of Krishna. That's all you can do. From a transcendental perspective. Yes, Jai Jagannath.
What is the defect in our association with devotees that we don't experience the slackening of the strong force of...
We're holding on. We don't, you know, we want and we don't want. We want to become free, but we want to hold on. You know, there's two classic examples. Bhaktisiddhanta's example of the wedding party and rowing the boat, and they don't go anywhere because the anchor's in. But, you know, I'm attached. And then another classic example is it's a generic one. The disciple that goes to ask his guru a question. Why is it that it's so difficult to give up Maya? You know that one. And he says, oh, that's a very profound question. I'll have to think about it very deeply. Come back tomorrow. So he's excited and comes back tomorrow, and as he's approaching the guru's ashram off in the forest, he hears, help! Help! And he starts running. That's the voice of my guru, and he must be in trouble, and running through the down the trail, and sees him by his cottage, and his arms and legs are around a tree, and calling, help, help! And he tries to pull him away from the tree, and it doesn't work. And then his guru stands up and says, now do you understand? It's difficult because we're holding on. That's why the slackening doesn't happen. We're doing those things that are meant to bring the slackening, but we're holding on. Therefore, the process is gradual. It's still working, but gradual. There's some other nice examples of the same thing. Yeah.
Because Srila Prabhupada is saying that by our sadhu sangha, the slackening will take place. What is it that we can do in our association of devotees to give us more courage to let go?
When at the University of Illinois in Chicago program, Acharya Nishta asked them, you know, they've been chanting japa. That's kind of like the wonderful. So it's like the focus right from the get-go, chanting japa. So he did a, you know, go around the room and, you know, what are your expectations? What are you looking for? You know, this is a sankalpa question. What, when you do meditation, didn't say chanting, but meditation, because they do different types of meditation. And Krishni's answer is my answer. She said, I've been meditating and doing chanting for some time, and I realize I'm not getting the full benefit that's available. So my intention, my sankalpa is to experience with greater faith or develop greater faith in the holy name and the process of chanting. You just use meditation to make it easier for everybody else. So, faith, increasing our faith in the means of deliverance and the deliverers of the means of deliverance. You know, the holy name and the givers of the holy name and Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and our disciplic succession and everything. Faith. Because without faith, we're not going to go anywhere. We can do something mechanically and it's not going to... So the quality of our faith in the process and those who are assisting us in applying the process, and you know, so relationships, just like last night, the relationship with a teacher, who is, when their heart is open, through that relationship with teacher, then what the teacher has to give is more readily flowing into our heart when our heart is open. So, you know, we're not trusting people. You know, maybe for a good reason. You know, like we've been burned, and we want to be really careful. But then our heart closes. We don't, we can't have faith in anybody other than what? Our mind? Good luck. We've been cheated so badly by our stupid mind, and then we're left with our stupid mind because you know we've been burned or whatever. Misguided and lazy and unlucky and unfortunate and Kali Yuga victims. So we're, you know, we just sedentary. So it's a project to open the heart and through to have relationships with persons where we're not misusing the position of their opening their hearts. So that it comes back to ourselves becoming qualified so that we can be instruments to not cheat people who open their heart and then help them take another step and another step like that. We have to become qualified and extend in a quality way that qualification and slowly, slowly. Something else? Yes.
Natural to become attached, but are there any boundaries or guidelines for becoming attached?
Well, yeah, sure. You missed some of the earlier classes, but there's atyata, ayata. There's unnecessary. There's necessary, You go back and listen to those other classes, the last 2 days' classes. There's necessary, there's unnecessary, and there's unnecessary detachment, like, you know, artificial detachment. So there's this fine line of necessary. And, you know, I'm sure you've heard Jai Jagannath discuss from Rupa Goswami's description of Yukta Vairagya is as is appropriate. So that's like, that's a big box. What's appropriate? Or big category, or big, you know, what's appropriate? If for different persons, it's different is appropriate. Because someone can maintain way over here, and someone else can't maintain way over here. So as appropriate. So there's a specific to household life. There's no question of having household life if there isn't attachment. I mean, what happens if there? How can you live with somebody? There's no attachment. There's attachment, and then so that attachment is as appropriate, or there's inappropriate. So that's like, you know, that's like a very not only a long discussion, it's an ongoing discussion, because what is appropriate or what is necessary for one, if they're properly applying themselves to the process of hearing and chanting, it's going to change. But the change doesn't mean, okay, now see you later. Not that kind of detachment. But it's another kind of detachment, the detachment that, you know, that it moves to the spiritual platform. We're serving together to assist one another. That's the spiritual reality. We're assisting one another to make spiritual progress. And we're becoming attached to the assistance and helping one another become, you know, I'm attached to serving and I'm attached to the assistance I'm receiving. And it's not on the material platform, the temporary platform, it's the spiritual platform. So it's certainly possible, as in Queen Kunti's prayers, to have spiritual relationships where Krishna is at the center. That's good. And we should work towards that. And until we're there, like Queen Kunti is, there'll be other kinds, mixed material attachments, and as appropriate, and not beyond what's appropriate, which is a nice, you know, nice thing to consider. That you'll hear about that if you listen to those other classes. Anything else? Last question. All right.
Somewhat in relation to what Jai Jagannath Prabhu was asking, and you answered about how to develop the ability to open the heart for the association. This is one aspect of that I was considering, and if you would give some feedback. Because we're in the realm of Krishna consciousness, whatever we experience here, sometimes we forget, wow, I was also suffering and destined to suffer a lot without Krishna consciousness. So now I'm running into some difficulties here, and somehow I'm connecting that to, because I'm in this association or because of Krishna consciousness or something like that. So the perspective on reality gets lost.
Yeah, good point.
And if we can, maybe I was thinking, even if there's verses that go directly to this point, or if maybe you just want to just express some more.
Well, one thing that comes to mind immediately is Bhaktisiddhanta's classic statement that a Vaishnava is never one who finds fault in others, knowing that by so doing, they're disclosing the fact that their own heart is honeycombed with that very same fault. So rather, a Vaishnava looks within. In other words, the principle is, it's not because I'm here in the association of devotees now I have all these problems. It's because of the contaminations of heart I have all these problems. I just had a discussion yesterday with somebody about this, not from here, but it was on the phone, because they're struggling with their own stuff, thinking the problem is out there, and they're on a bandwagon about the problem is out there, although they don't even know they're on the bandwagon. They do think the problem is out there, and it's arduous to help them go through the exercise of understanding the problem is over here, not over there. Change the scene. It takes take somebody or a set of circumstances away, and it's going to be another set of circumstances and another somebody's, because the problem is over here. And the material energy is going to create a situation where it's another circumstance, another set of somebody's, due to the problem over here. The problem is the problem over here. And until one comes to that acknowledgement, going nowhere. But the next scenario and the next scenario and the next scenario, the problem is always over there. And it goes in waves. The wave is up and then the wave is down. It's more intense, it subsides. Another set of people, another set of circumstances, it gets really intense, and then it subsides. And, after some time. And then it just keeps going because the contamination is over here. Until we become free from the contamination. So that's how Vaishnav thinks. It doesn't mean, Pollyanna utopia, the world is perfect and I'm just a bum. That's not... part of the reality is it's not a nice place. But the problem isn't because the world isn't a nice place. The problem is I'm not fixed in Krishna consciousness. I've got a heart that's got a lot of purification that still was required. Then I can be part of the solution rather than part of the problem. Let me work on becoming pure so I can be part of the solution. Go back to Godhead or enter into the Vaikuntha consciousness or Krishna consciousness. Being Krishna's instrument for uplifting rather than part of the thing that makes other people disturbed because of my contaminations. And, one blaming the other. That's the material program. I don't want to participate in the material program. That's a Vaishnava. Okay, I'm going to end. Thank you very much, Srila Prabhupada.